Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Your mind is the greatest gift God has given you. And that's why today we continue with a brand new series called Rethinking Your Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the 9 biblical pillars we need to reshape our minds so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to tell you how you can get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's number one best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Defeating Discouragement.
In this series, I've been telling you that you have to rethink the things in your life if you're going to change the things in your life. The same kind of thinking you've been using doesn't work. If you think the same thing over and over, you're not going to have any changes in your life. The Bible calls changing your mind repentance. This is a series on repentance. The Greek word metanoia is the word for repent. It simply means change your mind. Anytime you change your mind from the way you've been looking at something to the way God sees it is called repentance. And life is about learning to think less and less from my point of view, which is often skewered and messed up and, twisted because of background and all kinds of stuff, biology. But the best way is to think the way God thinks, because God's always going to think the truth. And the more I get God's truth in my life, the more then I can change my thoughts, I can repent, and then I can start living in a better way. Now, last week I told you that if you're going to deal with temptation, you can't resist it. You have to outthink it. You have to think about temptation in a different way. You have to change your mind. You have to repent. And the same is true with sin, and the same is true with life, and with happiness, and money, and sex, and every other area that we're going to be covering in this series. This week, I want us to look at changing your mind about the way you think about the things that discourage you. I meet people who are discouraged all the time. And they're ready to throw in the towel. They're at the end of their rope. They're ready to give up. And they're discouraged about a lot of things. And people go, you know, there's so much bad in the world right now. Well, I hate to tell you this, but there always has been. It always has been bad because the Bible says God gives us a free choice and we often choose to not follow what he says to do. The Bible calls that sin and evil. And so people get discouraged. And I thought this week we would look at how do you defeat discouragement in your life? Now, I don't know what's discouraging you, but if you've been discouraged by your finances or your health or a relationship or anything, you picked a good week to come to church because that's what we're going to look at. If you take out your message notes, it's inside your program. So we begin to look at defeating discouragement. You know, discouragement can be quite debilitating. It can cause you to give up trying. You can give up hoping. You can give up caring when you get discouraged. When you get discouraged, you can give up believing. And the Bible has a lot to say about discouragement. I put a couple of examples there at the top of your outline. Exodus chapter 6, verse 9 says this. Moses told the people what the Lord had said, but they wouldn't listen anymore. They had become too discouraged by the increasing burden of their slavery. I wonder what you feel is enslaving you. I wonder what burden is getting you down. I wonder what problem you've had it for so long, it's been so chronic that you get discouraged that, like these people, they wouldn't even listen to God. They couldn't hear God because of their discouragement. The burden was too heavy in their life. And we all know that times in life, you come to a point where you just go, I'm so burdened down, I'm so overwhelmed, I don't even know what to think, what to believe, what to care about. That's discouragement. David felt this in Psalm 42, verse 5. David says, why am I so discouraged? Why am I sad? And then he answers his own question, I will put my hope in God. Anytime you feel discouraged, you need to change your thoughts, you need to change your focus, you need to change your mind. Now, what we're going to do today is look at a great example from Paul on how to change your thoughts so you're not discouraged. Paul, of course, had many, many reasons to be discouraged. Yeah, Paul had a very tough life, certainly a whole lot tougher than your life. If you don't believe that, look at this on the screen. Let me read this to you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, this is Paul's testimony, I've worked much harder, I've been in prison more frequently because of preaching the gospel, I've been flogged more severely, I doubt you've ever had that, I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received 39 lashes, you know, with the whip. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, nearly stoned to death. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. And I've been constantly on the move, and I've been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my own countrymen. I've been in dangers from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in the country, at sea, and in dangers from false brothers. He says, I have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've gone without food. I've been cold, and I've been naked, no clothes. I've, besides everything else, I faced daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. And you think you got problems. I wanted to read that to you because if anybody had a right to be discouraged, I would say it's that guy. If your life was that, you would have a right to be discouraged. And yet in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul gives us the 7 secrets of defeating discouragement. This is going to be a very hopeful and very helpful message today. So if you take the message notes out and if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's get right into what Paul says. And he just goes, we're going to just go verse by verse. First, the first secret of defeating discouragement is this. Never forget how much God loves me. Never forget how much God loves me. You have to keep this constantly in focus if you're going to be immune to discouragement, because everything in life flows out of the love of God, out of the mercy of God, out of the grace of God, out of the kindness of God. It all flows out of his love. Now, of course, you know God loves you. You've heard it probably all your life. You've heard me preach on it week after week after week. You know God loves you, but do you feel it? When you stop feeling the love of God, you can't feel it in your heart. That's when you start to get discouraged. And so you've got to know the mercy. You've got to know the grace, but you've got to feel God's mercy. You've got to feel God's grace. Here's the first verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. God in his mercy has given us this ministry and work to do. That is why we do not become discouraged and we never give up. Now, in this whole chapter, about 3 or 4 times this chapter, he goes, this is why we don't get discouraged. This whole chapter is on discouragement. And he starts by saying, I don't get discouraged because I remember how much God loves me. I remember the mercy of God, the grace of God. I remember the kindness of God. When I'm focused on that, it drives the discouragement away. Now, he says, God in his mercy has given us, everything you have in life is a gift of God's mercy. The breath you're breathing right now, the brain you have, the health you have, the body, everything you have, your life in itself is a gift of the mercy of God. What is mercy? Well, it's a lot of things, but mercy is God gives me what I need, not what I deserve. And mercy is when God knows every mistake I'll make in my life, and yet he still created my life. That's mercy. And that God knows every sin I'll commit in my life, and yet he still loves me. That's mercy. And Paul says, for me to not get discouraged, what I have to do is I have to focus on the mercy and the grace and the love of God. And he says, that keeps me going. When you get discouraged, I guarantee you, when you get discouraged, at that moment, you've stopped feeling the love of God. Because you can't feel how much God loves you and be discouraged at the same time. So it's either one or the other. I don't know why, but a lot of people who followed the Lord for a long time, they've been Christians a long time, They don't feel God's love because they only think God speaks to them in a critical voice. They hear their mom or their dad. And every time God speaks to them, it's always negative. Friends, if the voice is always negative, it's not God. You've got to keep the love of God in your mind. Remember that you were created to be loved by God. God made you to love you. We've talked about this so many times. And the number one purpose of your life is not for you to do good. The number one purpose of your life is not for you even to love God back. The number one purpose of your life is to let God love you. Let God. Are you letting God do that? Are you letting God love you? That's your first purpose. You were made to let God love you. He made you to love you. Now, this is what it means to have the mercy and grace and love of God always in your mind. Two of the benefits of always focusing on God's love and mercy is, number one, I don't have to prove my worth. You can get off the performance cycle trap. And number two, I don't have to wallow in my failures because I know of God's mercy and grace and his love. So Paul starts with that. Now, in the second verse, he gives us the second key of defeating discouragement. And this is really important. Never fake it. Never fake it. Be yourself. What I'm talking about here is being authentic, being genuine, being real. You got to be who God made you to be. Nothing is more discouraging than trying to be something you're not. Because when you wear a mask, when you act, when you pose, that gets tiring. And you're afraid that other people might find out who you are, and you're afraid that God might not love you, and all of these things. Nothing's more discouraging than trying to be something that you're not. I'll say it as clearly and simply as I can. God didn't make you to be somebody else. When you get to heaven, God isn't going to say, why weren't you more like your sister? Or your mom, or your dad, or your brother, or Billy Graham. Or why weren't you more like Pastor Tom?
Or Pastor Rick.
Yeah. We're getting way up there next to Jesus when we talk about Tom, but here's the point. God does not bless fakes or phonies.
Amen.
God does not bless posers. God does not bless when you try to pretend to be something you're not. If you want God's blessing on your life, you better just start being who God made you to be. Stop trying to live for the pleasure or the pleasing of other people, the approval of other people. God didn't put you on earth for the approval of other people. He put you on earth to be who you are. And when you be who God made you to be, God looks down and goes, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's who I made you be. If you try to be somebody else, we don't need two of anybody else. And if you're not going to be you, God should just go ahead and kill you and take you on to heaven. Because we don't need a carbon copy. Most of us start off as originals in life and end up as carbon copies. When you try to be something you're not, that's discouraging. Paul says, don't fake it. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 4:2. We don't try to trick anyone. In other words, we're not putting on a phony mask. We're not trying to pretend we're something we're not. And we don't twist the word of God. Instead, we teach the truth plainly, showing everyone who we really are. That's an antidote to discouragement. Who we really are. Then they can know in their hearts what kind of people we are in God's sight. Paul says, I'm just trying to be myself. I'm not trying to please everybody else. I've got nothing to hide. What you see is what you get. Nothing is more discouraging than trying to please everybody. Why? Because even God can't do that. If you realize this, even God can't please everybody. Somebody's praying for the Rams to win, and somebody's praying for the Chargers to win. Okay? And somebody's praying for it to rain, and somebody's praying for it not rain, and somebody's praying it'll snow, and I can stay home from school. And others saying, please don't let it snow. Even God can't please everybody. So only a fool would try to do what God can't do. You know, just about the time you get crowd A pleased, crowd B gets ticked off at you. And then when you get crowd B pleased, crowd A's upset with you. You know, I've been on the cover of Newsweek magazine twice, once as a hero and once as a zero. One of them, they were building me up, and one of them, they were tearing me down. That's life, folks. That's just life. And so you can't fake it. You got to be who you're going to be. If you're always trying to be something you're not, you're always going to be under stress. You're always going to fear being exposed. You're always going to have to wear a mask, and you're going to be prone to discouragement. What I'm telling you as your pastor is you don't have to be perfect for God to bless you, but you do have to be authentic. You do have to be real. So Paul says, first, I want you to remember that God's never going to stop loving you. And then second, be who he made you to be, warts and all. You know, I'm a very flawed man. If you don't believe that, ask my kids or Kay or Tom or anybody who's close to me. I'm very flawed. But I actually think that talking to you about my flaws, not trying to pretend like I've got it all together, is a good thing. Because we don't grow from other people's strengths, we grow from their weaknesses. Because you go, oh man, if God blesses Rick that much, and he's such a doofus, then maybe God could bless me. Because he certainly doesn't have it all together, so maybe God could bless me like that. And it is in our weakness we actually help other people.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, as one of the best-selling nonfiction books in history, with more than 50 million copies sold in all formats and more than 70 translations available, The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren is far more than just a book. It's a roadmap for your spiritual journey, a journey that will transform your life. In The Purpose-Driven Life, you'll find answers to three of life's most important questions. The question of existence. Why am I alive? The question of significance. Does my life matter? The question of purpose. What on earth am I here for? You'll also discover the five benefits of knowing your purpose. The Purpose-Driven Life is designed to be read daily in 42 short chapters that will inspire you to stop and realize how God uniquely designed you for a purpose that only you can fulfill. It also includes links to 3-minute video introductions to each chapter and a 30 to 40-minute audio Bible study message for each chapter, along with appendixes and questions for further study and additional resources. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, one of the things that really thrills me is when I hear from you and you tell me that you're sharing what I'm sharing with you with other people. In other words, you're passing it on. That makes us partners in ministry. Today, I want to share with you a note from Ty, who listens regularly to Daily Hope, and then he passes it on to others. Here's what he wrote me. Pastor Rick, in today's podcast, you asked for listeners to share with you who we have introduced Daily Hope to. Well, I've done that a lot. I've shared your messages with dozens of men at the recovery ministry of my local church. And after completing the program myself, I'm leading the next group of believers walking through the 12 steps of Celebrate Recovery. And I usually have some wonderful insights to share that come to me from your Daily Hope messages. I'm also recommending your messages to my father, who is now a fervent listener as well. We call and we text each other often to discuss what we're learning. He says, Rick, my father recently gave me a signed copy of The Purpose-Driven Life as a gift to commemorate my 1 year of sobriety. I consider it a prized possession, and I display it proudly in my office. Well, Ty, God bless you, and thank you for your note. I'm just so glad to hear about what God is doing in your life, in your relationship with your dad, in your sobriety, in your steps of recovery, and in your ministry to other people. This is what Daily Hope is all about. We're in this together. I help you through these broadcasts so you can help others. Good work, my friend.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick at PastorRick.com. That's Rick at PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.